Over the past 18 months, we have seen hopes and dreams of many people crumble and die before their eyes. Family businesses have closed forever. Jobs have been lost. Children and loved ones have been lost through increased numbers of suicide, increased numbers of drug overdoses. Our children's education has been hampered and faltering. We have seen loved ones die. We've lost them to death. In some ways and in many ways, we might say that their hopes have disappointed them. And we as believers, if we're honest, we will have to say that there are times in our lives where our hopes and dreams have been a disappointment. But there is hope from God that will never disappoint us. Never disappoint us. This hope is the joyful, confident expectation that He will do what He promised. Many people say, I hope that I will get into heaven. They don't know. They think they're maybe worked well enough or did enough good deeds. I hope I'll get into heaven. That kind of hope can be disappointing. But when Jesus says to us, when He says to us that he who comes to me, I will in no wise turn away, we can have that expectation, that hope of expectation that we will be with Him when we move on to another at some time in our life. This morning, we're going to begin a two-part series from the book of Romans. I just came up with this yesterday, so two parts. I don't have the second part done. I'll bet you the second part is longer because I got more time. What we're going to do today, we want to look at our hope of glory. And next week, we want to look at our hope in tribulation. We're going to be looking at Romans 5. If you want to turn there, Romans 5, we're going to be looking at the first few verses there. In this passage, we're going to see, first of all, what does it mean to be justified? I'm not drilling down way, way deep, but we're going to talk briefly about justification. And then we're going to say, what are some of the blessings that come with justification? And in these first two verses of chapter 5, we're going to see that we have, one of the blessings is that we have peace with God. The next one is that we have, not only do we have access to God, we have standing with God. And the third thing is we have hope because we will rejoice in the hope of glory. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I want to read through both sections. One we'll just look at today, and then we'll finish the rest next week. Romans 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And my version says exalt. We will exalt or rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only this, but we exalt in tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance, and perseverance brings proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit that was given to us. First, let's look at what it means to be justified. Verse 1 starts out with therefore. Well, a therefore always refers back to something. And I think what Paul is referring back to is Romans chapter 4, where we have a discussion about God's work in Abraham's life to bring justification to Abraham. Romans 4:3 says that Abraham believed God and it was credited him as righteousness. This goes back to Genesis 15 when the Lord came to Abraham and he made this covenant promise of making him a great people. and a blessing to the world. And Abraham believed God, and that was credited him to righteousness. If you go back to the verse before that, in verse 2, it says, if Abraham was justified by works, he would have something to boast, but not before God. So many people are trying to work to find their justification. Something in human beings makes us think we have to do something. Often we do, but when it comes to our salvation, God's done it all for us. He is the one that brings justification, and that justification is based on our belief, our faith. And just as that chapter goes on, if you look at verses 23 through 25, you'll see that just as Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness, the text goes on to say, all who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead, they are accredited righteous too, because he was raised for their justification. My version, the last word of chapter 4 is justification. And then we get in verse chapter 5, therefore, he's talking about justification. Abraham's justification because of his belief, his faith, and our justification because of our belief and our faith. Well, what does it mean? It says we have been justified by faith. What does it mean to be justified? This is in the original word, it's a legal word and has to do with, you know, lawyers and judges and things like that. And it is to declare or pronounce someone to be just. Someone is righteous. So if I have my gavel and I declare a person, you are righteous. In our case, it doesn't mean we are righteous. We are declared, we are imputed, we are declared to be righteous. This justification happens in a moment. It happens at the moment we recognize our sinful condition and we cry out to the Lord in genuine repentance, Lord, I'm a sinner, save me. And it is a moment. Justification, many people look at it as a process. A lot of confusion about that. It's a moment in time, not a process. Sanctification is a process. We come to Christ he in faith, and he declares that we are righteous. We were dead in our sins. Now we are alive. He's raised us up. Now, like a newborn baby, we've got a newborn baby here. Congratulations, guys. We need to grow. And a lot of people are trying to think in terms of, I'm growing in my justification. I'm getting better and better, and the Lord is more and more happy with me, and I am meriting more before the Lord. No, justification is in the moment. Sanctification is that growing. We're all, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in the midst of the sanctification process. It's really an ugly process, isn't it? You know, you hear the saying about go to Washington, D.C. and see how they make the sausage. Okay, what goes into it? I literally have seen sausage made. I was a chaplain at I didn't even plan on saying this, but I was a chaplain at a slaughterhouse, pork processing plant. I saw them from the corral to the package out the door, and they use everything but the oink, and it all goes in the sausage. So our sanctification is messy. But you know, you fall down, you get up, you fall down, you get up, and God uses these things to grow us and to help us to become the kind of people that he wants us to be. So we do not become progressively justified. We are justified in the moment. We grow in our sanctification. We grow. And that sanctification is just our holiness, our set-apartness. So it's a thumbnail for justification, and you could go off and off and write books about it, but I just had a day. So we've seen what it means to be justified. What are the blessings that this justification brings? First thing, look at verse 1 there. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Many times people struggle with God. I think C.S. Lewis, I'm sure Michael could tell me different, but C.S. Lewis got saved. He went kicking and screaming into salvation because he said he could not, he knew it was right, and he couldn't resist it. Some people argue and fight with God. We have them within ourselves. But the peace of God is not necessarily a feeling of peace, because you could have an unbeliever, you could have an atheist, and he could feel very, very at peace in his heart, but he's not at peace with God. Conversely, you could have a believer who hasn't grown and understand or been taught about the peace of God, and he has peace of God, but he doesn't feel it. He's struggling within. And I'll bet you when you are a believer and you're struggling with your peace inside, it's probably because you're trying to use progressive justification. You're looking back on your sins and they've been forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. You need to move on and grow. I got many black blotches in my past. I'll bet everyone does too. I'll bet we could tell stories about things we've done that our hair would raise. But they're forgiven. They don't go away. They're still there as reminders of who we were and what we are now. But we have peace with God. This peace or the lack of peace is when you have something between you. So between God and man, there's something between us. Something, someone, some issue. And we're not going to have peace until that thing is dealt with. It's like in a marriage. You have something between you, husband and wife. They need to be reconciled. They're not going to be reconciled until they deal with that thing that is between them. Christ went to the cross to deal with that thing that is between us and him. And that is sin. That is our self-willfulness. That is our wanting to be God and not allowing him to be God. And he is the one that reconciled us to himself. He's the one that dealt with that sin. And so we don't have peace with God if we are not depending on that sacrifice for our sins to deal with that sin. Romans 5:10 says this: "For if while we were enemies," there's that word enemies. Sometimes you'll see enmity. We are enmity with God. "For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." How? "Through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, that enemy between you is reconciled, and we have peace. And if I don't have peace as a believer, it might be because I'm digging up some stuff that's gone and paid for on the cross. Leave it there. And just enjoy the peace that we have with God. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but Christ reconciled us to himself through his death and his resurrection. So I say, rejoice. Rejoice that we have peace with God. That thing that separated us from God is gone, and he's the one that paid the price to make that thing go away, to be forgiven. That sin that separates us from Christ was nailed to the cross. Don't go back to it. That's like cleaning up a pig and having it go back to the mud. Leave it at the cross. We have peace with God because he's reconciled us. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we are no longer going to hell. We were all bound to hell before this. We are no longer going to hell because God in his grace paid our debt. That's something to rejoice for. So rejoice. I was thinking about that as I planned to think about these things that we want to rejoice over. I just reminded of how Pastor Mike frequently talks about personal worship. See, we're gathered together for worship corporately, and that's great because we can be with each other and encourage one another and have fellowship, sing together and share in the word together. But we need to be worshiping every day ourselves. And so my saying, rejoice, we have because I have peace with God, that comes out of worship as you or I sit at our desk or sit on a recliner and I read these words, therefore, having been justified with God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I worship and I praise God. I could sing a hymn, but most of it's internal and you just fill it up with, wow. It's internalizing it. Sometimes we just read words and we pass on. And nothing has ever changed. But personal worship is looking at this text and all these texts and saying, I have been justified by faith and I have peace with God. And I can rejoice. Next thing is, we have peace with God. The next thing is, we have access to and standing with God. Need to get this. Should have brought it with me. That verse 2 goes on to say this. We have, through him we have obtained our introduction by faith into the grace which we stand. We have obtained, or we have obtained an introduction or an access by faith into the grace in which we stand. We have access to the Lord. You know, in ancient times, even today, you just couldn't walk into the king's chamber room or into his throne room unless you're invited. Unless you wanted to lose your head. You just didn't do that because you didn't have access. And the other thing is, you didn't have standing. You may go in, but you don't belong there. You don't have standing to be there. God has not only taken away the enmity that was between us and him, but he gave us free and full access into his very throne room. What happened on the day that Jesus was crucified in the temple? The veil that separated everyone from the Holy of Holies, that veil was torn from top to bottom and we had access. You and I have access to the Holy of Holies. We have more access than the high priest. We have more access than Aaron had. Aaron could only go in there one day a year, and he better make sure his life is cleaned up and he's clean and his sins are forgiven because he might not come out. We have access to the throne room of God. And if you're like me, you got your access and you don't use it like you should. See, that's part of this personal worship every day. I am accessing. I have now permission to go into the Holy of Holies where God lives. And I have standing. I can be there. This justification through faith has given us access to his grace. And this grace not only gives us access to him, to God, but we have standing before him. Now, I'm thinking of standing in a little different way at this point. I'm allowed to be there, but I think about standing before the Lord. When we're still at Somerville Baptist Church, went on them with a mission trip to Dominican Republic. Mission trips to a country where you can't speak the language, I find it's great, but it's a little frustrating because I can't talk to you and you can't talk to me. Lucy was there, and she translated for us, but Lucy couldn't be with every one of us individually to translate for us. It's a little frustrating. But the resort we were at, by the way, we were suffering for the Lord on the Caribbean. You know, it was tough. It was tough. We made it, though. We did all right. Sitting there on the Caribbean, get up early in the morning. I had to have my coffee. That's one of my vices. And there are other people that needed coffee early in the morning. And I met some. Dominican Republic is a very popular place for Canadians to go. And I met some French Canadians. I met a man, had an opportunity to share the gospel with him there. He spoke English. Well, I think it was English. He was a little, he was French Canadian, so it was a little vague there. Shared the gospel with him, but actually, you know, nothing's getting through because he's still thinking in terms of work because I do. He's telling me all the good things that he does, and I'm trying to break through that barrier. It's not by your works, but by your faith. And I just wasn't getting anywhere. But we had fun, drank coffee together. But then I met an Irish woman who immigrated to Canada. she was, I guess, in her 70s, so she was an older woman. Oh, I'm in my 70s now, so that's not old. But she was older than me. And she was telling me she grew up in Northern Ireland. She was Protestant. She wasn't a believer, but she was Protestant. And she got so much grief from the Catholic girls. She was bitter and angry with all that she went through from the Catholic girls in their school. Maybe not just the girls, but the Catholics and the Protestants, you know. And she said to me, When I see God, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. And I said, when you see God, you're going to be flat on your face. Kind of ended the conversation. You're going to be flat on your face. You see, she will lay prostrate. I get those words. Hey, I am 70, you know, okay? Believe me, that's on my mind more than I like to think. She will be on her face before the Lord. And I vowed I would get it right, but I didn't. You see, she's going to be flat on her face before the Lord because the burden of her sin is weighing her down because she didn't walk away with new life in Christ. But when we stand before the Lord, yes, we are going to be judged for what we have done in this life, whether our works are wood, hay, and stubble and get burned up, or they're gold, silver, and precious stones. But we can stand before the Lord. Why can we stand before the Lord? Because we have the righteousness of Christ. I'm not standing there. You're not standing there in your sin. She's flat on her face in her sin. We will stand because of Christ's righteousness, not ours. Rejoice. We have access to God's throne room through His grace. Go there every day. If it's 5 minutes, 3 hours, go there. Give it a name. I used to call it, in the morning, I called it Tent of Meeting. Because I would think of going to tabernacle, you know. Now it's communion. This is my communion time. Go into it thinking, this is my time with the Lord. This is not that you're not with the Lord other. You can do it all through the day, but this is a concentrated time where I am going into the Holy of Holies. I can go into the throne room of God, and I can worship, there. We have access to God's throne room. And you need to rejoice because we can confidently stand before Him because we have Christ's righteousness. So rejoice. We have peace with God. We have access to God. And we have a standing with God. And the last part of verse 2 says, we exalt or we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. One day, maybe sooner or later, one day, either through death or through the Lord returning, we will see the glory of God. I think of Peter, James, and John took him out to the hillside, and Jesus showed him his glory. I don't have a very good imagination, but I can't even imagine what that was like for them. He showed them his glory. We will see his glory. Not only that, one day we will not just see his glory, but we will have the glory of God. Romans 8:29 says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of God, of his Son, so that we would be the firstborn among many brethren." You see, our sanctification process is present, and presently we are in the process of conforming to his Son. At least that's what we're supposed to be doing. Not conforming to this world, but conforming to the image of his Son. So no matter how much time we have to live, we should be growing in the image of Christ. That's our sanctification. Well, one day we're going to have the glorification where we will be with him and we will be in his image. Think of that. This person, with all his craziness, not only see the glory of God, we'll have the glory of God. We'll be conformed to his image. Our hope in that day is not a hope that can be disappointing like we see. That hope is sure, and it's going to happen. So rejoice. We will see God in his glory. We will be like God in his glory. And this hope is sure. It will happen. It's not going to fizzle out. It's not going to die on you. This hope will come, and we will not be disappointed. We will continue on next week with the second part of that, because there is hope in tribulation. That's not such a pretty part. But in this life, our hopes and dreams can crumble before our eyes. They have been, and they will continue to do so. Our hopes for our children may not be fulfilled. Our financial hopes might be crushed. How many people have lost fortunes in the past? Everything we have could be lost. My health may fail. Loved ones may die. Our hopes may yield nothing but disappointment in this life. But there is a hope from God that will never disappoint us. The hope of our peace with God. The hope of our access to God and our standing with God. And the hope of the one day of rejoicing in his presence and becoming like him. This hope that we're talking about is a hope that is joyful. It is a joyful, confident expectation that God will do as he promised. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we rejoice in hope. In the hope of the glory of God. Let's pray together. God, we have so much, and we squander it. We have salvation. We've been justified. We've been made clean. We've been made righteous in your sight. You've given us peace. We have access to you. We have standing with you, and we'll see your glory, Lord. And sometimes we act nothing like that even exists. I ask God that for each one of us that we might redouble our effort to spend some time every day worshiping in our home, sitting at our desk, sitting in a recliner, wherever it may be, Lord, where we are worshiping you. Use your word, Lord, to change our hearts and minds. Let us not read words and get past them and get on with our day. Let your words dwell in us and change us and make us into your image. Thank you for the hope that we have of glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.